Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Teresa Borenpohl sues Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris, Lear Assets Management, and Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee head Brent Regan for conspiring to throw out people who spoke out against the far right during legislative town hall meeting in February 2025. Borenpohl was dragged out of the meeting for speaking up. Moscow Council votes on spin scooter extension, and Mark Furman dies. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Moscow City Council last night approved a renewal of a licensing agreement with Spin, officially known as Phoenix USH, with Phoenix spelled P-H-E-E-N-I-X, to allow the deployment of up to 150 shared mobility electric scooters within the city. The renewal will last a year, starting June 2nd. Under the terms of the agreement, the Spin company is paying the city a licensing fee. There was discussion about safety, possible city liability, and parking for the rental scooters, which City Administrator Tyler Palmer and Spin Government and University Partnerships Director Kylie Floodman addressed before the vote. City Council member Sandra Kelly asked Kylie Floodman of Spin about sanctions on scooter customers who do not obey the rules.
I was surprised where a couple slides ago where it said these are the things they're tracking, and like no sidewalk riding and no speeding and helmets. I'm like, I see all of those infractions on a daily basis, and I almost hit them on a daily basis. So I'm surprised that those are up there, because I'm not in my car a whole lot, and I see that a lot. So that, I mean, that's a concern. And the other question, the question I do have is, when the tracking comes up and it shows that maybe the rider is consistently doing the wrong things, do they get put on probation by the company?
That is something we do track. It's all calculated into that rider score. It all goes into that rider score. And so essentially, high riders with positive rider scores start getting incentives. Riders that are having negative rider scores start getting targeted safety messaging. At some point, they will get entered into a suspension period. So their count can go anywhere from suspension to outright banning. We, of course, want to educate first. But of course, if we have repeat negligent users that are causing an unsafe environment for other people on the road, you know, you abuse it, you lose it. So absolutely, that is something that we are tracking. But to your point, it's not like it immediately stops that behavior. It does go into that rider score. It gives them a low score. We start with that education and then escalates from there.
The council vote to renew Spin's licensing agreement with the city for a second year was 6-0. The Western Watersheds Project and Wild Earth Guardians have sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in U.S. District Court in Eugene over the agency's delayed decision on whether to protect the pygmy rabbit under the Endangered Species Act. The pygmy rabbit is the world's smallest rabbit species and is found in sagebrush habitat in central Washington and the extreme southwestern corner of Montana. The Fish and Wildlife Service was supposed to issue a finding on a 2023 petition to list the species under the Endangered Species Act within 12 months, but did not. Western Watersheds Project Deputy Director Greta Anderson said, "Our petition presented clear and compelling evidence that the government should take a close look at the threats to the pygmy rabbit and its sagebrush habitats and make the decision about whether to give them the protection of the Endangered Species Act. Instead, the agency continues to rush through decisions to destroy pygmy rabbit habitat, authorize extractive uses without oversight, and ignore the plight of this little bunny." Earth Justice Rocky Mountain Office Senior Attorney Thomas Delahanty said the service has acknowledged that Endangered Species Act protections for the pygmy rabbit may be warranted, but has dragged its feet on its legal obligation to finalize a listing decision. listing the pygmy rabbit will help ensure that the highly biodiverse sagebrush steppe receives much-needed protection as well.
KRFP programming is sponsored by listeners like you and by Essential Art Gallery and Fine Gifts at 203 South Main Street in Moscow, showcasing high-quality art, pottery, jewelry, art glass, sculptures, scarves, textiles, wood and metal art, and fine chocolate and gifts from regional, national, and international artists. KRFP is also sponsored by
Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.
The Idaho primary is Tuesday, May 19th. Polls will be open from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. To find your polling place, go to voteidaho.gov. In Idaho, you can register to vote at your polling place on Election Day. At the polls, you will have a choice of a Republican, Democratic, or unaffiliated ballot. The unaffiliated ballot only has nonpartisan judicial races. You can vote in the Republican primary if you are voting for the first time in Idaho or are registered as unaffiliated or Republican. If you are unaffiliated, you will need to change your affiliation at the polling place to Republican to vote in the Republican primary. If you were affiliated with any other party after mid-March, including the Democratic Party, you cannot vote in the closed Republican primary. Any voter can cast ballots in the Democratic primary if they take a Democratic ballot. You may update your registration or register for the first time and vote at the polls on Election Day if you are 18 or older, have resided in the county for at least 30 days, and have a photo ID, not a student ID, must be a current Idaho driver's license, current Idaho ID, passport, tribal ID, or Idaho concealed carry permit, and you have proof of residence, a photo ID with current address, or documents like a university enrollment letter, rental agreement, or utility bill. Note, if you are new to Idaho, you cannot register to vote if your only form of acceptable ID is an out-of-state driver's license, even if you have proof of residency. In that case, you must purchase an Idaho driver's license or obtain a free Idaho ID from the Department of Licensing. Kootenai County resident Teresa Borenpohl has sued Kootenai County Sheriff Robert Norris, the owner and three employees of Lear Asset Management, and Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee Chair Brent Regan for their roles in dragging her out of a public meeting attended by 450 people at the Coeur d'Alene High School in February 2025. Viral video evidence shows Sheriff Norris ordering three plainclothes men working for Lear Asset Management, pulling Borenpohl from her seat, pinning her to the floor, and dragging her out of the legislative town hall that the right-wing Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee hosted at the high school. Borenpohl, who is a former Democratic candidate for state legislature from the Idaho Panhandle, is seeking a jury trial as well as compensatory and punitive damages due to violations of her First, Fourth, and 14th Amendment rights. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution protects free speech, assembly, association, and petition, and the Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable search and seizure. The 14th Amendment protects against losing rights without lawful process. At the direction of Sheriff Norris, Lear Asset Management owner Paul Truett and three of his employees, Christopher Berg, Russell Dunn, and Jesse Isaac Jones, dragged Borenpohl out of the auditorium as the right-wing MC cheered them on. Borenpohl was asking the men who grabbed her, who they were, but they did not reply. Borenpohl admitted she spoke out of turn at the meeting attended by 450 people. At one point, when the Republican lawmakers discussed the ending of women's reproductive rights, she yelled, "Is this a lecture or a town hall?" She later yelled out that Republican Senator Phil Hart had been stealing timber from state land, which is something Hart had actually been convicted of in past years. Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris, who was also in plain clothes but wearing a cap that said Kootenai County Sheriff on it, reacted to the last comment, telling Borenpohl to leave and attempting to physically remove her from the auditorium chair. When Norris could not get her out of the chair, he told three unidentified men to get her.
My name is Robert Norris. I'm the sheriff of this county. We're asking you to leave on video. Please get up or be escorted out.
Sheriff Norris, this gentleman is assaulting me. This man is assaulting me. This man is assaulting me. Is this your deputy? Is this your deputy? No, don't get up, touch us. Is he a deputy? These are deputies. Who else are these men?
You are hurting her.
Just cooperate, it'll be 100 times better.
Yeah, that's what they say to rape victims.
The men turned out to be employees of Truett's Lear Asset Management, and Truett was on the scene ordering them to do so. In December of last year, a jury in Coeur d'Alene found Truett guilty of battery for pushing Borenpohl and ordering her dragged out of the town hall meeting. According to an account in the Idaho Press at the time, the Kootenai County Sheriff's Office said Norris was the only member of the department at the town hall meeting. The Sheriff's Department released a statement at the time which said Borenpohl interrupted the speakers at least 7 times. She was warned at least 3 times. She was asked by the sheriff to leave at least 5 times, and finally the licensed and bonded professional security removed her from the venue. She forcibly resisted and bit one of them. She was cited by the Coeur d'Alene police for trespass and battery. Security did fully cooperate with law enforcement. The city of Coeur d'Alene never pursued the charges against Borenpohl and terminated Lear Assets Management's license to operate in the city because at the meeting they were operating without clothing that had the word security on it as required by City of Coeur d'Alene code. The lawsuit says the Republican Sheriff Norris knew Borenpohl from other town hall meetings and public events in the past. The suit says Borenpohl has continued to suffer emotional injury that required her to take leave from work and impacted her day-to-day functioning. The lawsuit reads, Borenpohl suffered pain, scratches, bruising, and emotional distress as a result of Sheriff Norris's actions and the actions of the unidentified men. She sought medical treatment for her injuries. Her clothing was damaged, and she was intentionally and willfully manhandled in a manner that harmed her dignity and reputation, causing her personal humiliation. The suit also says others at the town hall were cheering, shouting, and jeering at the meeting, but the sheriff and his collaborators only targeted one person, Borenpohl. The suit says the plainclothes security forcibly removed other people at the meeting who had attempted to intervene to protect Borenpohl, and one was zip-tied and pushed against a wall outside the auditorium. The suit claims Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee Chair Brent Regan, Sheriff Norris, and Lear personnel discussed and collaborated to create a plan to remove anyone who expressed views that did not support the Central Committee.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night, so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
Listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Community radio.
Listen, and you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio for you, Moscow.
Fight that radio. It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight back.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
See y'all around.
We're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back. Local support is growing for three protesters on trial this week for demonstrating against Immigration and Customs Enforcement's detention of two asylum seekers during a scheduled immigration check-in. Hundreds joined the impromptu protest last June in Spokane, leading to 30 arrests. While most of the charges were dropped, three protesters have chosen to fight their federal charges of conspiracy to impede or injure a federal officer. Reverend Emily Kinker with Evangelical Lutheran Church in America says protesters were exercising their First Amendment rights and were nonviolent, and she calls for an acquittal.
It seems like these charges coming from the federal level are really about crushing dissent and a desire to silence those who might oppose this administration and its policies, particularly those that are aimed at our refugee and immigrant neighbors.
Prosecutors will now need to prove the defendants had planned to use force, intimidation, or threats to block federal officers from doing their jobs. If convicted, each faces up to 6 years in prison and a fine up to $250,000. Kinker joined community and faith groups yesterday for a rally in support of the defendants, now known as the Spokane Three, Justice for All, Jack Archer, and Bajun Mavawala Jr. She says regardless of the outcome of the trial, people across Washington will continue to build a nonpartisan coalition to uplift and protect local immigrant communities.
We will continue to work for a city where everyone is safe and where everyone belongs, and continue to work together for a future that belongs to everybody.
Last year, then U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi directed federal prosecutors to pursue the strongest charges possible against anyone involved in planning, funding, or committing crimes against ICE facilities. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Idaho Panhandle resident and former Los Angeles police detective Mark Furman, who was famous for his disastrous turn as star prosecution witness in the O.J. Simpson trial, has died at the age of 74. Kootenai County Coroner Lynn Acevedo told the Spokesman Review Furman died May 12th. Furman's manager Linda Bensky told the New York Times Furman died of throat cancer. Furman testified in the 1995 O.J. Simpson trial that he found the bloody glove that showed Simpson killed his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson. The jury found O.J. Simpson not guilty of stabbing Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman to death. Furman later pled no contest to perjury. He was found to be an unreliable witness when the prosecution found an audio tape of him using a racist slur, which he said he never uttered. Furman then moved to Northern Idaho and became a radio host and author. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, it will be mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 43. Tomorrow, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing, high 66. Partly cloudy Wednesday night, low 41. Thursday, sunny, high 69. Partly cloudy, low 44 Thursday night. Mostly clear Friday and Saturday, high 73 Friday, 76 on Saturday, with a low of 46 Friday night. Current temperature is 63 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Flashpoints is coming up next, followed by Rude Awakening live in the studios, 7:30 till 9:30. And Brent Bentz on to play music for you, 9:30 to 11. during which time we'll have some election results for you. And at 11 o'clock, we'll have the Sons of Patriarchy podcast. So stay tuned for all of that. Polls are open in the Idaho primaries until 8 p.m. tonight. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of north central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections.